This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Where is Sheikh Ammar? We asked Sheikh Ammar, Jazahallah khair. We're not allowing any drinks, so we got him to take his drinks out because no Jews would drink inside the masjid. So he's the first one. Sheikh Kamal tried to sneak it inside the mug. So I made him drink it. Sheikh Ammar, Zahal alayna wa laish. Looks like Sheikh Ammar got upset. Without my energy drink, I'm not coming back. طيب بسم الله نبدأ شيخ. As you know, the surahs in the Quran are Madanis and Makki. Madani and Makki. There is 30 Madani surahs. How many surahs Madanis? 30. Question. What's Madani surah means? Yes. From Medina. The city of Medina. So why we call them Madani? Yes, Khalid. They were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ while he is in Medina. طيب, some of them were revealed not in Medina. Some of them revealed in Mecca. And still Madani. Yes? Or whoever. Now, I'm not talking about characteristic. I'm saying what makes this surah Madani or Makki? After Hijrah. So anything was revealed after the Prophet ﷺ migrated, it's called Madani. Anything that was revealed before the Prophet ﷺ migrated, it's called Makki. So what about the surah that revealed while he's migrating? Inshallah, when you study ulum al-Quran, I'll let you know. But the point is, and so, is there a case like this? Yes, absolutely. Surah Al-Mutaffifin. So here we say that 30 surah Madani, okay? 17 of them, and 17 of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about hypocrites and hypocrisy. In more than 340 verses about hypocrisy, 340 verses. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah yaqul hatta yakad yakun al-Quran kulluhu 'an al-munafiqin. That I can say the whole entire Quran speaks about hypocrisy and hypocrites. The whole entire Quran. And that's why I think it's so important for us to cover this subject a little bit, especially knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هُمُ الْعَدُوُّ فَاحْذَرْهُمْ. They are the enemy. The enemy. So be aware of them. So I hope today we will be aware of hypocrisy, be aware of hypocrites, so we can abstain from it. And I will open the floor for the Sheikh Ammar to carry on.
So when you open up Surah Al-Baqarah right from the beginning, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers. And He describes the believers in three verses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the disbelievers, and He describes the disbelievers in five verses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spends in two verses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the munafiqeen in 13 verses. And so you see this attention from the beginning of the Quran that's given to the hypocrites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them with different examples. And of those examples, but even before we get into the examples, but the idea here, one of the important aspects is, as Sheikh Waleed mentioned, that you be aware of their traits. They are the enemy in every time and place. And so that we be aware of their traits, and inshallah ta'ala throughout the night, we'll share some examples that will make this more real, but also that, I mean, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, every single one of them feared hypocrisy for themselves. And so we want to be aware of these traits ourselves and learn them so that we can avoid them as well.
One interesting thing or one fact about the hypocrites, they only surfaced after Islam came to power. You can imagine when the Muslims were being tortured and persecuted in Mecca, nobody pretended to be a Muslim, right? What's the advantage? But when they went to Medina, they began to establish the state and they had some power, then the hypocrites started to enter into Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and events would expose them every now and then. But like Sheikh Ammar was saying, when you see a people like the hypocrites, and they are, as we all know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that they're in the lowest level of the hellfire. Innal munafiqeen fi ad-darki al-asfali min an-nar. They're in the lowest level of the hellfire. So they're the worst of people. So when you have people that are so bad like that, the first thing is you don't want to be like them whatsoever. So inshallah, I hope through the night we're going to throw some of the characteristics of the hypocrites. And the whole point is that I don't want to be like them, and I want to make sure I don't have any of the characteristics of those who are hypocrites.
So right from the get-go, this notion of the word hypocrite, and I feel like we kind of have to qualify what hypocrisy means, because people in the American context, or I guess in English, when they think of a hypocrite, they think of somebody who does what they don't, something opposite of what they say. And so a person will say, for example, I will showcase my sins because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be hypocritical. So I will publicly showcase like all of my faults and all of the major sins that I do because I don't want to be a hypocrite. But that's not what a hypocrite is for us. Hiding your sins is not hypocrisy. They'll say, I don't want to hide my sins because then I'm being a hypocrite. You guys have heard that before, right? Hiding your sins is not hypocrisy for us. Hiding sins is iman. Hypocrisy is two types. There's the theological hypocrisy, and then there's the hypocrisy in practice. Hypocrisy in theology, the theological hypocrisy, is when a person believes or disbelieves rather, and they showcase Islam. So they're pretending to be Muslim. They don't believe, and they're claiming, and they're claiming to be Muslim, and you know, they might pray and they might do all of these things. They do all of the outer things, but on the inside they're not. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُم بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are those who claim to be Muslim and they say we believe in Allah on the Day of Judgment, and they don't believe. And then you have practical hypocrisy, and that practical hypocrisy we'll be explaining over the night, but it's when a person, the Prophet ﷺ, for example, he gives different characteristics. He says qualities of the hypocrites are four, that if they speak, they lie, and if they make a promise, they break their promise, and what have you. And so that's examples of practical hypocrisy, and people struggle with that to remove it.
So hypocrisy is one of three categories. We have Iman, then you have Kufr, and you have hypocrisy. Iman has branches, that's right? What's the highest branch in Islam, or Iman? La ilaha illallah, Tawheed. That's right? And what is, so, and it has the process of Iman is bid'u wa sab'una shu'ba, 70 plus branches. And there is another narration, wal kufru mithla dhalik, even hypocrisy similar to that. 70 plus branches. So also kufr has branches. What is the highest level of kufr? Shirk is to associate other with Allah in the worship. Okay? So that's the highest level of kufr and shirk. Or to deny God, existence of God. Okay? That's also could be the highest level of kufr. So here you have and Iman, one of the branches of Iman is Haya. One of the branches of Iman is to clear the road for people so they will walk without any harm. The Prophet ﷺ said that. The same thing. وَقِلَّةُ الْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّن شُعَبِ الْكُفْرِ and have no shame. That's one of the branches of kufr. The same thing with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy have levels and branches also. The highest level of the branches of hypocrisy, أعلى شعب النفاق, is to not to believe in Islam, not to believe in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to believe in La ilaha illallah, and you just showing that you believe in Islam, but inside you really never believed. You only showed your belief in Islam. See carefully. Is not someone Muslim then doubt happening to him? No, no. I'm talking about somebody never, ever Islam entered their heart. Ever, not a single second in their life. Someone who just claimed to be Muslim for purely other than God, other than Allah, whatever the reason is. Okay? So that's the highest level of hypocrisy. Then there is so many other branches. Like we said in Islam and Iman, there is a branch called clearing the road for people to walk safely. Same thing in hypocrisy. There is many levels. And one of the levels, as we, this is what the Sheikh was referring to, practical things. Like what? Lying, breaking promises, being lazy. So you can imagine. The more branches, the more points you collect from each one of these three, it leads you to the top. It's like ladder, one step to another. That's why in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he mentioned four character traits for hypocrisy or hypocrites, then he said, and the one who collect all these four, فَهُوَ مُنَافِقْ مَعْلُومُ النِّفَاقِ. That's a true hypocrite. True hypocrite. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, each one of the character traits of hypocrisy, or one of every character of hypocrisy, leads to the top one, leads to leaving Islam. So that means we have to be very careful from each and every one of them, because it can be the reason for someone later on down on the road to leave the religion and to be a full 100%, you know, hypocrites, a'udhu billah. That's why we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from hypocrisy. And Ibn Abi Mulaika, who have seen the greatest, he's seen maybe 30 Sahabi, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, like Aisha radiallahu anha, and Asma' bint Abi Bakr, and Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah, he met a lot of great companions. He said, I met 30 of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كلهم يخاف على نفسه النفاق. They are all scared of hypocrisy. Not because they have doubt about themselves, because they fear that. That's why, al-ulama rahimahullah, there are so many scholars said those who feel safe from hypocrisy are hypocrites. And those who never thought that hypocrisy is something, any one of the quality of hypocrisy is something that I don't care about, this is not me, he already fall on the trap of the shaitan. So you need to be aware of, so you avoid it, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, and you stay very, very far away from it. Yes.
I have a quality. So the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ الْفَجَرِ. So when he has a dispute or a disagreement with someone, he takes it to another level, far beyond where it should stay. So I got a story for you. There was, this is in the East Coast. There's this guy, he had an audio company. He would do Quran and Islamic CDs and things like that. He had all kinds of equipment in the studio. He made a deal with the Sheikh. The Sheikh's going to come and recite the entire Mus'haf. And he's going to record it, he's going to edit it, add reverb, all that stuff. But they didn't agree on the terms beforehand. So the Sheikh spent hours and hours recording. The man spent a lot of money paying for man hours to record it and to edit it and everything. When it was done, they couldn't agree on how they're going to split the money. So the guy is telling me, the audio guy, he's telling me, wallahi, in every sajda, I make dua against the Sheikh. In every sajda, he makes dua against the Sheikh because they didn't agree on how to use the money and how to split it and all that. And this is the time of it, the invasion of Iraq. Like in every sajda, they make dua against Tony Blair or something, for God's sake, George Bush. Yeah, if you make a list of people who deserve that you should make dua against them in every sajda, then the Sheikh, who's a hafiz, an imam, will be probably number 2,000 something, number one. So that's an example of just taking it too far. So beware of when you have a disagreement with someone, taking it to the next level and hating them and their children and their cats and مشارف, their car. حتى. Don't take it that far. You know, and that's the thing. With brothers, we fight, we have misunderstandings, same thing with the sisters. And then what happens? Next time I see you, خلاص, I smile, we talk it out, I apologize even if I'm not wrong. But with the hypocrite, because you're not his brother, or in the past, they would remain angry at people. And you saw, there are many examples, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he would like so upset at incidents, and he would just hold it, and then it escalated when we did the ifk, it eventually led to that. He was so angry inside. I've got a whole bunch of others, but we'll take some.
Is a very good, like you see this also in internet. When somebody disputes with you, there is no limit. There is no limit to how far he can get angry at you. And they can lie, they can accuse you, they will stick to you, everything, anything stick.
Alter videos.
You know? Yeah, make videos, make them. It's unbelievable. And
you to court. Huh? Take you to court, go for everything you're worth.
Take you to court. I know, for example, somebody got a dispute over money. Something, salary, business. Oh my God, and it became to another level. They sued him for $300,000. He said, for God's sake, all the work that you did for me, from day one to last day you work, if I pay you fully, which is they don't believe you deserve, you don't get even $100,000. And you sue me for $300,000-$400,000 extra. Because they know, with the lawyers and everything, they're gonna settle. And I tell you, whereas I have seen this quality of hypocrisy appear the most, when husband and wife get divorced. Divorce. A'udhu billah. It will be fujur. Will never, there is no limit to how far she will go, how far he will go. Even accusation, everything in the past, and all of a sudden, oh my God, there is a whole file against me, there is this, there is that. And all kithib, all lie, and all exaggerations. Somebody said, you know what? I still remember a few years back, I caught you talking to a guy. I'm going to go tell the whole world about you cheating, and this and this and that. And I have you record a few when you watch pornography. And I'm going to expose you online. And the whole entire dirty laundry comes out. Be careful. That's the one of the sign, clear sign of hypocrisy. And I promise you, it will not stop there. It will go farther.
The Hasam al-Fajr, when they dispute, they transgress bounds. I mean, people are going to dispute, but the point is, don't transgress bounds. One of the examples that comes to mind also is a brother from a masjid that I used to... Anyway, so he was one of those older mashayikh type. Like, he just, huge beard, you know, he dressed apart for so long, probably like 30 years every salah, till he just kind of became Sheikh so-and-so, you know? And he used to have a problem with the muaddin. He wasn't the Sheikh of the masjid, but he was just one of the people who, out of respect, got called Sheikh so-and-so. And he used to have a problem with the muaddin, who was also like 70 years old. And whenever the muaddin would be 5 minutes late, he would call the adhan and do all these sorts of things to... And so I remember one time they actually clashed. So I'm seeing two very elder men clash very passionately. And this guy, Sheikh so-and-so with the huge beard, and they're outside, and he started cursing at this guy like a 15-year-old who never had any tarbiyah or any, just like street language to the... And his excuse was, "Ana dimaghi wisikh." He was like, my... It was just like, my brain is like, it just goes left or something like that. And I'm like, that's nothing to be proud of. You've been in the masjid for like 40 years. If you haven't purified your tongue at this point, then what's the point? And so he was like, that's that example of transgression when you dispute, right? People all of a sudden take all of these Islamic etiquettes that you've been hearing about out the window.
Another quality is, وَإِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبْ. Before I go that, also, by the way, transgressing and dispute with brothers, between brothers and family relatives. So be careful of this at home. Not because your sister or your brother did something small to you, you escalate to the highest level and retaliate to him or to her. That's not the quality of the believers. The quality of the believers is they de-escalate, that they forgive, they let go. Anyway, the second one is, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks, they lie. SubhanAllah, and they lie. And the thing about lying, I'll tell you, the moment it catch your tongue, if you used to lie, you will be in the habit of lying. It became a habit, and you keep lying and lying. That's why Salaf never narrate hadith from someone who lies, even if his lie has nothing to do with the religion, because it's very contagious. Whoever lie about regular things will end up lying about religion and everything else. And you will not stop. You find yourself lying for no reason even. That's why Nabi Sallallahu said, وَمَا زَالَ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الْكَذِبُ. Will lie and will make things up just for no reason, just to lie. Until he will be known to Allah as a liar. And that will lead that person to hellfire. And you can see today how much lies in our life.
One time I was at I met with a friend of mine, and we met this brother. Just we were meeting him for the first time, and the brother mentioned that he's from Yemen. And so the brother who was with me, he goes, "Oh, mashallah, I've been to Yemen and this and this and this and this," and they're talking about Yemen and stuff like that. And then when the guy leaves, like, this guy I know, I said, "When did you go to Yemen?" He said, "I've never been to Yemen." I was like, "Why did you say you went to Yemen?" He's like, "Make dua for me." He's like, "It's such a bad habit." I lie.
Wow.
I was like, "You didn't benefit anything from that. There's no like reason for you to have done it." He's like, "Just make dua for me." He's like, "It's such a bad habit."
It's not illness, which habit. Marad, yani.
Wow.
There's
some people. Yeah, there's people can lie to your face with a straight face.
No.
Politicians? With a smile. Politicians?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's part of it. That's part of it. But there is people just became so used to, so accustomed to lying. You know, I give you an example. A lot of people lie, for example, about their credential. Okay? Well, also lie about their past and about, you know, what they have accomplished in life for business, whatever reason, just to impress people. You know, one of the form of lie is to claim what you don't have. La bisi thawbi zur. He claimed things that he doesn't have or she doesn't have. Act as if he is all this and all that, and he's not. You know what? Just be yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Lying is a very bad habit and one of the major sins in Islam. another quality.
I just wanted to say something about lying. There's this khatib we had in the East Coast. He only gave khutab in Arabic, but he was such a powerful khatib. Faidul khutab. So he gave a khutbah about lying, and that was such a powerful khutbah. And the introduction was so strong that I just want to share the introduction. So he's speaking in Arabic. He's like, today our khutbah is about lying. So I'm speaking to you, O liars in the audience. Isma'ni ya kathab. Anadayfuka al-yawm. He's just like, it was unbelievable. And he just kept saying, you liar, you speaking to you, you liars in the audience. And everybody was so repulsed. You know, when these khutab were touchy-feely, makes you cry, everyone goes to the khatib. I loved your khutbah, I really enjoyed your khutbah. Nobody shook his hand. Made everybody uncomfortable. And I was sitting there and I remember, like, the idea of being labeled a liar is one of the most hated things. Even a liar wouldn't want to be known as the town liar. And imagine we have someone in the community and everyone calls him the liar. Ah, al-kathab, how are you? What's the latest lie? Tell me, Allah. But worse than a community labeling you a liar, as the Sheikh Walid was saying, the hadith, that the man will continue to lie until he's labeled a liar with Allah. Yani, can you imagine that? Every time Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at you, that's the liar. There's the label, it says liar on it. And the last thing I want to say, studies show that the average child lies from 3 to 5 times a day, and the average adult lies from 2 to 3 times a day. Musiba.
You know, Sheikh, you just mentioned something I didn't think of, how you said, like, anybody would not like to be known as a liar. I can't think of, like, a vice in American society except that it's been perverted to be worn as a badge of honor, except for lying.
Huh?
Until now, there's no, like, people proud proclaiming that they're liars.
Actually, there are. There's no face behind it. But, like, the people who put out these hoaxes and false news, I mean, I don't mean CNN, I mean, like, really, so-and-so died, and they're proud of it, and they put out this whole intricate detail thing.
Like Onion News?
Yeah, like, but at least, you're right, they don't show their face and say, I'm the one who made that lie, even though. Okay, the other thing, I don't know if I'm going in the order, but when he makes a promise, he breaks it, all right? Now, there's something that some people misunderstand about this hadith, that let's say, there was a brother once, he promised someone something, so he's going to deliver something, but that item wasn't ready. So when he met him, he's like, you know, I couldn't bring it because it wasn't ready. So that guy tells him, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ Finish the hadith. If he promises, what? يعني, you now have a sign of the hypocrite. But the scholars explained, and Sheikh Walid, if you disagree, please feel free. يعني Sheikh Walid is المرجع, يعني. The point is, they said that the hypocrite, he makes the promise while internally, at that moment, he has no intention of meeting you. He's like, next Wednesday, bi-idhnillah, 5 o'clock, you'll find me there. And he internally, he knows next Wednesday, he's at the airport. And he's like, khalas, inshallah, I'll see you next Wednesday. Bore himmak. But when you're sincerely saying next Wednesday, then your car blows up and the engine blows up. You're not a hypocrite because you had that one quality. So that's the difference. And on that note, I'd like to say I have this technique I use with people to see if they're sincere, okay? Let's just keep this between us, all right? So this happened, I had some kind of lecture I was giving at a university, and I was also like the MSA president. So I would walk around campus inviting people to the lecture. I ran into these 4 guys, they're standing around, I'm like, we have a lecture today at 3 o'clock, it's about this, I'd like to see you. I purposely didn't tell them the room, I just told them at 3 o'clock, it's a big campus. And they're like, inshallah, you'll see us there. It's 3 o'clock, inshallah, nkun ma'akum. Bi-idhnillah, you'll see us. And I kept saying, khalas, we'll see you, inshallah. Yes, we'll see you. They're like, I didn't tell you the room or the building. And they're like, And sometimes I do it with my phone. The guy's like, inshallah, I'll contact you. I'm like, khalas, contact me. He didn't ask for my number. Fabian, are you serious or are you just faking it right now?
Yeah, I mean, breaking promises is very... Like, I give you one of the common examples is basically when you promise to take responsibility, then you completely drop the ball. You know, like so many times, people take this very lightly. You know, like, hey, we need volunteers to do 1, 2, 3. And they never show up after they tell you they're coming. That's a sign of hypocrisy. Somebody, for example, promised you to pay you back your debt. And he never did. He never did. And he never cared. Somebody promised his wife to give her the mahar after they get married. And he never gave her her dowry. Khalas, sweetheart, your money is my money and everything is my money. You know? It is somebody make a promise to you to, for example, to commit, and they break the promise, and they keep breaking it. And when they make this promise, not because breaking it because of excuses, because they never really cared for it. Yes, I'll come. They never really have the real intention to do it. And that's where the hypocrisy comes from. Because they're outside different than what's inside. The outside, yes, I'm coming. The inside, he never ever want. It never entered his heart that he's coming. It's like the major one, I'm Muslim, but it really never entered his heart. أصلا عمره ما أسلم أصلا عمره ما وعد عمره ما عرف أن هذا صدق ذلك يكذب ويخلف بالموعد. Yes, Khalid. Okay.
So just when the person makes these promises and they break their promises, what is the consistent tool that the hypocrite keeps in their toolbox? What is the number one tool that they use to save face? Yes.
Lying?
Not lying. Well, yes, lying, but what is it, Umar? Excuses. My car broke down. Ya akhi, the kids, blah, 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 right? So it's excuses. And so just to give you like a glimpse, the difference between Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and the 80 some odd hypocrites is that Ka'ab did not participate in the campaign of Tabuk. But when he came and the Prophet ﷺ came from the campaign, and everybody who didn't participate because they were obligated to go, he went and he sat in front of the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I can argue my way out of anything, and I've been given talent and skill in argumentation. But I know that if I make an excuse, Allah will be angry with me and you'll be angry with me. I have no excuse. I got no excuse. And so excuses being a tool of, and of course the hypocrites came and every single one of them had an excuse, and they said our houses were unprotected and what have you. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted their excuses. So this notion of excuse is not something that you then use to quiz other people, like the Shaykh was mentioning, you know, testing other individuals and saying, if you speak, you lie, or if you promise, you're going to break your promise. But that you use it as an internal metric, that I don't make excuses for myself. I don't make excuses. If I promise, I mean it. And if I make that promise, then I try my best to fulfill that promise. But if someone comes to you with an excuse, accept their excuses. The Prophet ﷺ accepted those excuses, and you leave people's internal affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows best.
I'm going to recite verses, okay, three verses. And I want you guys, Ammar, if you don't mind, to translate. And I want you guys to figure out how many qualities of hypocrisy is there. Okay? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فحسبه جهنم ولبئس المهاد.
So Allah says, and of the people is he whose speech pleases you in the worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to what is in his heart. Yet he's the fiercest of opponents. And when he goes away, he strives throughout the land to cause corruption therein and destroys crops and animals. And Allah does not like corruption. Allah does not love corruption. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, pride in the sin takes hold of him. Sufficient for him is hellfire, and how wretched is the resting place.
Fierce opponent?
Yeah.
I would say also better translation than that, that Aladdul Khisam, he is so aggressive in arguing his case. Like, he all so aggressive in argue aggressively just to defend himself. Let's see.
So how many traits of hypocrisy are in those verses? That's the
You read it so fast.
Okay, let me read it slower. So just pointing, stop me when you hear one. Here we go. So,
when they speak,
you're flipping over on me. Okay, and when he of the people is he whose speech pleases you in the worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to what is in his heart.
Can you explain what that means?
And of the people is he whose speech pleases you in the worldly life.
Anyone, even us. Yeah.
So I like this. You know, they're in their language, they're on your side. The language is strong. I want to recite this verse. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَئِنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُنَّ." Yani they come and they swear the strongest of oaths. These are the hypocrites Allah is describing. So they come to the Prophet ﷺ and they swear by the strongest oath, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ وَالَّذِي رَفَعَ السَّمَوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدْ. Some powerful, powerful oath. If you command us, Ya Rasulullah, to go out for jihad, wallahi we will go. طيب, did Abu Bakr ever do that? One day just come to the Prophet ﷺ, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ Ya Rasulullah, if you tell us to go out, I will be the first one in the... Never, right? Because they don't have to prove anything. But the hypocrites, they come and their speech... Remember Abdullah ibn this wallahi an nifaq. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the hypocrites in Medina. Every time before the Prophet ﷺ would get up and speak, he would get up and he would tell people, "Oh people, here is the messenger of Allah." Yani like to the effect of he's living amongst you. Fasma'u lahu wa ati'u, listen to him and obey. Then he would sit down. But we don't need your introduction. The Nabi ﷺ is on the minbar and everyone's about to listen. But the hypocrite is the one who the speech is flowery and powerful and I'm here and I'm ready, and then when it gets real, where are they? Dust, but you don't see anything.
So he always speaking and talking and hear me out, but it's empty, just empty words.
And they're always making oaths. They're always swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to bear witness to what's in their heart.
That's why anytime somebody says, "Wallahi, I didn't do wallahi, wallahi," I know that there is something wrong. Anytime my kid or a kid starts swearing about Allah a lot, there's a question mark, you know? Is that really right? There is something wrong. But the point is, this big mouth and very empty, you know, just rhetoric. Don't be like that. Don't be empty like that. Empty wagon make louder sound. When the wagon is empty, it makes the louder of sound. But when it is filled with goods, you don't hear that loud sound. So remember that. Don't be like this. Yes?
Say again, about how many hypocrites are there in the world today? There are about 5,226,000.
You mean 5 billion?
Just kidding.
I tell you, Imam Ahmed rahimahullah was asked this question: how many hypocrites there? Imam Ahmed rahimahullah said, if hypocrites disappear, you will feel lonely in the street and in the city. You will feel lonely.
Ah. He's talking about the levels, right? He's not talking about the pure hypocrites.
That like people with sign of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
If disappear, you will be alone in the city.
No, I'm sorry.
That's, Hassan Basri said the same thing. That's in that time. So many people have the signs of hypocrisy. That's why it is good to always purify yourself from it. So, one of the thing is, in this verse, it says, أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ, arguing too much. There is some people love to argue. Everything they argue over it. That's a sign of hypocrisy. Everything, reason, no reason, argue, 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 خلاص. Just learn how to say, okay, yes, yes, dad, yes, mom. Not everything is a debate. Yes, Sheikh, yes, this. I'm not saying cancel your brain, but not everything, it became a debate. Everything that you have to back and forth. And even when you back and forth, you're so aggressive about your point. And the aggressiveness in your point has nothing to do with how much you believe in it. It's how much ego that you have. That's where the dangerous part is. And that's not a good quality. That's not the quality of the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Sheikh, just a quick tangent on that point that you just made about argumentation. This is a secret that I learned after I became an adult, unfortunately, not when I was a teenager. But a lot of times when you're arguing with your parents, it might be over things that they're asking you to do that they don't really, they're not really demanding for you to do. So one time I was, it's like, for example, when your parent says to you, you know, inshallah, you'll take me to Hajj. For some kids, that's an argument right there. I've got student loans and I've got this and I've got this and you're talking to me about... It's like all you had to do in that moment is to say, inshallah, yeah, it would be my pleasure. That's it. One sister one time, she was asking me, it was a couple, and she was telling me about her mother-in-law. She's like, my mother-in-law is always telling me what to do and what to do and what to do. I said, listen, does your mother-in-law ever follow up with you and say, did you do what I told you last week? She's like, no. I was like, excellent. This is all you have to do. Ready? Say, inshallah. That's it. It doesn't have to be an argument. Just let it roll off of your back. She's not following up with you.
But
she
will do it. That's right. It's not inshallah, just lying.
Or just, you know what? That's a great idea or something like that. I really appreciate that advice or what have you, right? Just move it along, but it doesn't have to be a conflict. Not everything has to be a conflict. A lot of times they just want you to appreciate their statement, to join them in that imagining in that moment and move on.
Okay, quickly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when this person basically spread corruptions on earth, that's one of the signs of hypocrisy. Spread corruption. And that's one of the signs of hypocrisy. Hypocrites in the world. By the way, these signs also exist in the kafiri, but that's originally hypocrisy. They spread corruption in earth. Do you see how movies, songs, scenes, you know, apps, it's just about, all about spreading what?
Corruption.
And there is some Muslims love corruption. Wallahi, I will never forget one of the Muslim who unfortunately at one point, Allah yaghfirlo, at one point he was representing the Muslim community. Told me once, ya akhi, why you are making it so hard for the youth? You see what you mean? Salahs. Alhamdulillah, they pray Taraweeh. He said, and they go to Ramadan to pray Taraweeh. But yani, every day, five salah, masjid, they pray Jummah, you know? And you guys tell them, oh, women have to wear hijab, men has to do this. You know, let them go, clubs, you know, parties, and, you know, it's okay to dance, you know, to do this. You know, I want to see the youth having Muslim girlfriends. I want to see, and I see it in his eyes. I want to see this, I want to see this. What kind of hypocrisy is this? I want to see our youth free and facade, just corruption. Wallahi, there's some parents, they are happy when their daughter are corrupt and their sons corrupt more than them being happy when their children are religious. It's sad. They love kids that spread the corruption. There is people who spend money to spread the haram. That's a sign of hypocrisy.
And you see that, right? Even amongst the Muslim community, you have a person, one of the Muslims who like ascends in the ladder of, you know, the arts or movies or film or what have you, music, and it's completely celebrated and everybody's so happy, even though what they're talking about and what they're promoting is complete filth. But that representation becomes something that they're actually excited about, right? That's a manifestation of hypocrisy.
طيب, let's see how many we can hit here. One of their signs is riya, that they do things to show off to people, and it's not done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu has a nice statement. He says, the hypocrite becomes energetic when praised, and sloth or slow when he's not praised. So because he's doing it for people, so if people are praising him, he does more and he's volunteering and he's energetic. But if nobody notices his efforts, he becomes lazy, he doesn't want to continue. Fadl.
And hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the hardest prayers on the hypocrites are Fajr and Isha, because those are the ones that people, I mean, they were generally prayed in darkness, but people aren't necessarily aware of. They go and they make sure that they're present in the prayers that people are aware of. Also, if I can jump to one of it's the criticizing of the work that the believers do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the hypocrites as those who criticize al-mutawwi'in min al-mu'minin, those who, the charity fi sadaqat, in what they give of charity. And so they're always, that's nothing. What they're doing, they're you know, this guy is giving a lot of money, he must be showing off. This guy or sister is giving a little bit, Allah does not need this little. They're criticizing those who are doing work. He's got millions of dollars, he's only donating this, right? You know, I have a case study that I experienced. I'm not sure if I should mention it, but why not? A couple of years ago, just to make this more real, yeah.
Can I have a request for the sisters in the back? Last week, there were a complaint about the talking on the site. So sisters in the back, can you hear me, guys? If there is anybody talking on the back, they want to talk, they can go to the
lounges,
mom's room, if they want to do that, if there is no moms with infants there. But if you're sitting there, because some sisters are not here, but they're staying in the sister's side because they want to benefit too. So please, if you see somebody talking, reach out to them and ask them not to talk. And if they did not stop, just let me know and I will come. Ask them to be quiet.
And just to show you the effect of hypocrisy, like a lot of times you can have Muslims, great, your everyday average great brother or sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِيكُمْ سَمَّعُونَ لَهُمْ, that there are those who listen to them, they have an ear. And so they're able to galvanize the community to harm projects that Muslims are doing. And so I give you an example that I personally witnessed. We were doing a couple of years ago, we were doing a webinar for Burma, if you remember. And Burma, at that time, the Muslim community there was the most oppressed community in the world. Okay? They're being slaughtered and all that type of stuff. And we did a webinar to raise funds for them. The webinar did not have any female speakers present. Had invited some female speakers, they weren't available. Obviously, just go ahead with it. It was all male. It was an all-male panel. A group that literally their name or their cause is to spread fitna in the Muslim community, that was their MO, that was their mission statement, is to spread fitna in the Muslim community. They see a flyer with all male figures, shuyukh and stuff like that, and so they create an online campaign. When do they create the online campaign? They don't reach out and say, hey guys, by the way, this is a problem, we disagree with this, great work doing this project, but no. The goal is to sabotage this event so that they can learn a lesson, people can learn a lesson. Forget that it's being money raised for the most oppressed people in the world. This is kind of American entitlement, that if we feel slighted, then everything should be shut down. So this whole like trending campaign happens during the time of the event. And I was completely unaware because I was hosting the event. After the event was over, and I realized that this entire thing happened on Twitter where people were mobilizing and blasting and making fun of and all of that type of stuff, I'm like, who are these characters? And I start looking through these individuals, like who are, and lots of great, you know, Muslim figures and people jumped on the wave because it was something that's trending. Sama'una lahum, they listened to them, right? Brothers and sisters that I know personally, they were like, yeah, it's right. And that's why it's so important, quick tangent, it's so important that when you, on social media, when you're sharing things, that you don't just listen to something that looks good or it sounds good, and so you're just retweeting and you're sharing. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he has this beautiful statement. When the Khawarij, they said, in al-hukmu illa lillah, they said that the what is it? Al-hukm, the judgment only belongs to Allah. That's a true statement, right? It's deserving of being retweeted. It's from the Quran. But what does Ali say? When the Khawarij are the ones who are raising that banner, he says, kalimatu haqqin yuradu biha batil. Urida biha batil. He says, this is a statement of truth through which falsehood is intended. It can be that that thing that you're retweeting or sharing, it could be a statement of truth. But what's the agenda of the person behind it? Go do a little bit of diligence. Go and check out the bio of this person. Click through and see what their tweets are. See what their agenda is behind what you share. That you don't be someone who's giving somebody a platform for something. In any case, so then I go and I look. I'm like, who are these people? I realize that, you know, it's started by this. And I remember seeing, just to give you like a glaring example, one of the sisters who was like leading the cavalry against this, and she's making fun of the poster, and she's saying it looks like a poster for the Royal Rumble. It doesn't look like a poster for, like, she's just making fun of it. I click on to see, and I see that she's added, like, if you can imagine the singer in the United States in 2015 who is the like forerunner of al-fahsha and al-munkar in America, she's tweeting her and she's like, you are my hero, with no shame. She's like, you are my hero. Meanwhile, she's blasting the mashayikh and she's blasting. Anyway, to shorten this, I remember thinking to myself, who here is encouraging people to contribute? You're shutting down the program, you're blasting everything, that's fine. Who actually said also, you know what, the people of Burma are deserving of sadaqat? There was one sister, that was it. Everybody else was on that wave. And so it's very, very important. Like, this stuff is very real and it happens every day. It's very important that we don't pay attention, that we don't be those who listen to the drums that are beaten by the munafiqeen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
I remember the hashtag, or somebody sent me, my Twitter said, don't forget about her. I said, oh, I'm raising money for her. And I put a picture of a girl from Burma. But I guess you talking about don't forget about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The person who sent me, it's don't forget about me. I want to be in talking.
Of course, yeah.
But her, no. I'm raising money for my sisters over there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, one of the hypocrisy's signs, be careful of this.
إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is many qualities here, but he says that they trying to deceive Allah, but the reality they deceive themselves. But here the second one. And when they stand up for salah, they are lazy. When salah comes, so lazy. I will tell you, if you see yourself willing to stand up for things and you will make hours in TV, cinema, in gym, in exercise, and whatever, socializing, talking in the phone, playing games, but when it comes to the salah, you drag your feet and you see the heaviest things ever. And somebody tell me, Sheikh, that's not fair. In Salah, I don't understand the Quran. Type, read what you understand. Do you enjoy it? Type, what about the portion that you know what you're saying, which is ruku' and sujood, when you make the dua and you make the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you enjoy it? If you don't speak Arabic, okay, make the Salah recitation short, but make your ruku' and sujood long, where you will understand what you're saying. But if you feel that's one of the signs, that's there's something. See, any one of these signs, it shows that the heart need to be purified. You need to work in your heart. You need to make a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stronger. You make a lot of dua that Allah purify your heart. When it comes to Salat al-Fajr, it's so heavy for you to pray. But if you have a game, if you have a school, you jump. If you have a flight, you jump.
When a game goes into overtime, we get more excited. It went into double overtime.
The imam recites a little bit too long.
Oh my goodness.
Ya Allah. Sheikhna, so are we done with the salah? Because there's some, you're saying that they're lazy to get up for salah. Ibn al-Jawzi mentions also they delay it till the next one. It's like they don't want to deal with it, so they keep pushing it off, and then they just pray it right before its time goes out. And he also mentioned that
that's what the Prophet ﷺ described as the prayer of the munafiq. Yes. He waits until Asr is almost over.
And then they speed it up. They just pray it quickly to get rid of it. I never forget this from Sheikh Ja'far Idris, hafizahullah. He said something really beautiful about, I mean, it's not his statement, yani, but he brought it to our attention. He was saying, I don't know what analogy to give. Maybe quicksand. You guys are familiar with quicksand. Like when you try to fight it, it sucks you down more. And when you take it easy, it doesn't pull you down. So he said the salah, when you try to rush it and get it out of the way, it becomes heavy and difficult and long. And that's so true, isn't it? You know, someone's watching a show, commercial break, let me squeeze dhuhr in. Dhuhr is heavy and it just takes forever. He says, the more you focus, the more attention you give, the more that your heart and you have presence of mind there, the lighter it becomes. And it's just so true. And so they keep pecking at it, and like quickly making sujood ruku' fast, trying to get it out of the way. They're delaying it because they don't want to deal with it. And it just becomes heavier and heavier and heavier.
One of our objectives is to bring Sheikh Kamal's examples to 2021. I heard him mention cassette tapes a couple weeks ago in the Friday Night Lights. Are commercials still a thing, commercial breaks?
No, they're not. They're not. And I was aware of that when I said the example, Yanni. But
commercial breaks.
Where are commercial breaks?
Everywhere.
Only on live TV. Nobody watches live TV anymore.
Yeah, YouTube has commercials in the middle of a video now.
That's like a 10-second commercial break.
You're listening to Quran, but the guy wants to make 2 cents, so he beats commercial in the middle of your Quran recitation. How many times you listen to a lecture, you get undergarment commercial. Oh, can I say something about ittaqillah? Yeah. When you recite the verse, Sheikh, I used to have this roommate.
Make the point because they don't remember.
Yes. So when وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. When he is told ittaqillah, fear Allah, he is taken by arrogance to do more, to commit more sin. So I had this roommate. Anytime we'd have he was a good close friend of mine. So many times I told him, يَأْخِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, right? And anytime I said that to him, he would always say, Allahumma ja'alna min al-muttaqin. Ya Allah, make us from al-muttaqin. Which is such a nice way, because today people see ittaqillah as an insult. The early Muslims, if you told one of them ittaqillah, tears would come immediately. Today ittaqillah is an insult. Tell someone ittaqillah, like, you ittaqillah. It's like you call someone an idiot, look, you're an idiot. Ya akhi, ittaqillah is not an insult. And that's the quality of the munafiqeen. The ittaqillah offends them, and they start to get arrogant and do more sin. So anytime someone tells you taqillah, Allahumma ja'alna, just yani.
And also it shows that they don't like to be corrected.
Aywa.
That's a sign of hypocrisy. If somebody give them advice about something wrong they do, they get so offended. They get so upset. Yes, Sheikh Ammar, what do you have?
Well, so we mentioned way at the beginning that the people of Mecca did not have nifaq because Islam was weak. And then in Medina, Islam became powerful, and so the phenomena of hypocrisy appeared. Are the Muslims powerful now or are they weak? And if we say that they're weak, does that make sense then that there are hypocrites now? Why would there be hypocrites if Islam is not in a position of power?
The hypocrisy today, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there used to be hypocrites. Now there is no more hypocrites. Hudhayfa said in the time of Umar, there is no more hypocrites now. Now it is a clear kufr. That's what Hudhayfa said. So what that means, what Hudhayfa meant by that, he meant like in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, people used to show Islam because they were afraid of being prosecuted, and the Quran used to come down to identify them. But now There is nothing like that. The Quran will not identify them. The Quran will not, because the Quran stopped by the Prophet ﷺ after the Prophet ﷺ died. Today, the hypocrisy is mainly in a form of what? Of actions. You know, these branches of hypocrisy. That's what's mainly today. So he didn't deny hypocrisy. Because, by the way, Al-Murji'ah, which is a deviant sect, which is a very big sect in history, denied the existence of hypocrisy. He said hypocrisy ended by the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But that's not true. And the reason they said that, because those people have a false belief about Iman. Their vision of Iman is wrong. Okay, so that's why they deny the existence of hypocrisy. But hypocrisy still exists, and there is plenty of evidence to show that.
Is it safe to also say that there are, you know, fast tracks in society if you're a Muslim, for example, as a ethnic minority or what have you? If you are a Muslim and you say that Islam needs to be revived and Islam needs to be this, and it's not, you know, people get all sorts of positions of power and wealth and benefits.
I'm sure. I don't know. That's what it is. Yes. Yeah, that's a major hypocrisy. That's a major, when somebody claims Islam, but he's not. He's actually either spying on Muslims or coming to destroy Islam from within. That's why Al-Hallaj, for example, a very famous, iconic Sufi, Al-Hallaj, Al-Dhahabi, when he wrote his biography, and Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, when he talked about the many scholars, when they talk about Al-Hallaj, they said, and this man, he claimed Islam, but the reality, he was nothing but zindiq. He never a believer. He came just to put poison in the honey, put poisons in the belief of the Muslims. And we do believe that there are so many people in history have came to Islam and spread ideologies and ideas. There is people today speak about Islam and they want to liberalize Islam, as they say, give a new vision of Islam that's completely against what Islam is. That's a form of hypocrisy. And that leads me to one of the quality of the belief of the hypocrites, which is so common in the Quran and repeated in many different ways, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا. When you call them to what Allah says and what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they said, no. We don't want. And that start from Ahlul Kalam, it start from Ahlul Kalam, that's as a form of hypocrisy. From the people of Bid'ah and innovation, when they did not find guidance in the Quran and Sunnah, rather they find it in what the, basically the philosophers and the Greek and Roman philosophers and Hindu philosophers said, and they took to the extent, يعني حتى بعضهم لا يستحي مثل صاحب التفسير الكبير الفخر, when he interpreted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ قَالْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَسَائِلِ الْعَمَلِيَّ الْعِلْمِيَّاتِ, بس في العمليات. That he said that the Quran is a guidance only in fiqh and sharia rules, but not a guidance in aqidah when it comes to Allah. That's a level of hypocrisy. There's no doubt. And goes down all the way to the average things. Ya akhi, in inheritance, one of the brothers who here is the lawyer, Brother Yusuf, was telling me, Sheikh, it is shocking. He's a lawyer who basically do inheritance. Shocking how many good Muslims in the masjid and stuff like that, when they hire me to write their will, and I said to them, that's haram, I cannot do this will. I will not do it. That's against my deen, I will not do it, even if you don't hire me. And they said, no, I will not follow the Sharia. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not good for my daughter. That's not good for my son. Husband and wife dispute over business. Ta'an, come to tell you what Allah said. No. Complete rejections to the ruling of Sharia. There is a difference between you saying, I know that this is right and I am sinful, I am weak in my iman. But there is another level when you say, I don't care. And you reject it and you're not willing to adhere to it. I'm willing to talk to you, but other than the Quran and Sunnah. What? And the worst of all of them, يريدون يعني إحسانا وتوفيقا وإن أرادوا إلا إساءة وتلفيقا. That they try to mix things together. That's a sign of hypocrisy. Be careful.
One trait that I...
We will end in 3 minutes. So one more sentence.
So real quick, let me just run this trait by you, Sheikh, because I heard a very famous scholar mention it and I wanted to run it by you, and that is, he mentioned, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجِسَامُهُمْ, that when you see them, the hypocrites, their bodies please you. And he said, obsession with sculpting your body, bodybuilding, all of that, is a trait of hypocrisy.
No, I don't agree with that.
Allahu Akbar.
If you do this, but only this, that's what make you, يعني, you think that your value is based on just your look. That's a sign of hypocrisy.
Well, that's modern.
But if you take care of your body and you look fit and muscles up and stuff like that, and you care about your body, but also you nurture your soul. فَأَنْتَ بِالنَّفْسِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنسَانُ. You're human beings because of your soul and character traits. You know? It doesn't. Iman is not to be fat and ugly.
You're saying the dad bod is not iman?
Huh?
The dad bod?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I didn't get over my middle life crisis yet. You know, my middle life crisis appeared in my middle. So I'm trying to work on it. Okay. Sheikh Kamal?
I have one. So, historically, when the Muslims would be victorious, the hypocrites would be?
Grieved.
Grieved and upset. And the scholars mentioned one of the signs of hypocrisy is to be disappointed and upset when Muslims are victorious.
You Allah.
And we've seen it in our lifetime.
Wallahi. Again and again.
Huh? يعني, how rare is it when we see some kind of victory for the Muslims? And then you'll find this guy, he's angry. Sometimes he's angry because the group that produced this victory is like, you know, they're in competition with us. So I'm not happy that the Muslims received this victory. And he's upset. Or if it's something military and Muslims are victorious in something, like I said, it's kind of rare these days. But the person is upset that they were victorious. And that's one of the signs of the hypocrites. Bad.
Maybe even just locally, organizations and something like that, just supporting. If I can just get 1 minute, I remember one time, the first time I went to Minneapolis, we did an Al-Maghrib introduction event. And we didn't know Minneapolis was a city. Like, it was just like, what is Minneapolis? And then it was 700 people there. It was the biggest launch we ever had. I was like, and Dr. Hatim Al-Hajj Hafidhullah was there and he participated in the event. And he said something, subhanAllah, I never forgot. He said, while I was kind of sitting with him, he said, in my conversations with my Lord, I would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be successful. I would ask Allah for Al-Maghrib to be successful because I have no share in it. I was like, that's amazing. Like, this is an organization that it's not my organization, it's not anything that I have a part of. So you actually loving for another masjid to be successful, another project to be successful, all of that type of stuff, Allah knows
today
best.
When we made a fundraising, and we raised for Jumu'ah maybe over $50,000, I was saying to myself, in the beginning, Kida, when this happened, I said, man, I was planning to make a fundraising for the masjid. Then I said to myself, Astaghfirullah. I'm so happy that we raised money for another masjid. I'm so happy. There's some people keep the feel as if this money coming from our budget. No, Allah, I'm so happy for them. May Allah give them more. Alhamdulillah. So this is something we need to learn how to do that. Yes?
Is it a sign of a hypocrite if like one Muslim person, right? Like if two Muslim people are like
If they're not happy for them because of that thing was something Islamically good, that's not a good sign, yes. Yeah. I just want to end with a quick point. Keep in mind, one of the tricks of the shaitan comes to you and tell you, you're a hypocrite. So convince you to leave doing what is right and it is good. You're a hypocrite. Why you wear hijab part-time? The part-time better than no time at all. You're a hypocrite. Why do you pray sunnah here? Alhamdulillah, I pray sunnah here. I'm not doing it for people. I'm encouraged by the group. You know what? I will do more. You're a hypocrite. And the shaitan used this a lot to make you quit. You don't want to be a hypocrite. Don't quit. Do it more. Do it right. Correct your intention. Not to quit. It's to go to the opposite. So be careful from this, because that's one of the very, very, very effective trick for the shaitan.
Real quick, if I could just end with a Sheikh, do you have something you want to mention?
Yeah, close to Sheikh Wali's point, because I experienced this where people try to hide a deed that's done in public. How does that make any sense? You know, people used to hide some of their extra or their voluntary deeds. But a deed, something that's done in public, you don't hide that. Yani, مثلاً, I'm not going to go to Jumu'ah prayer so people don't see me there and I'm showing off. What's showing off? Everyone's there. You might think nobody thinks like that, but wallahi, one time some guy told me this. He said, Ya akhi, the Sahaba were so pure that if one of them opened the door of his house to go to Fajr and someone else sees them going to Fajr, they prayed in the house. Yeah. Taqi awi, mashallah. What kind of nonsense is this? So that doesn't exist.
So a quick announcement, inshallah ta'ala, and then a question for you. The announcement is next week, inshallah ta'ala, obviously October kicks off the holiday season. We've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas, and we have the Mawlid tab. So there's a lot of questions that basically we're going to be throwing at Sheikh Waleed next week, inshallah ta'ala. Feel free to come ready with your questions. There's a lot that goes on, both professionally, at school, at home, all of that type of stuff. That's the announcement for next week. And then the question that I have is, which culture do you think makes the best tea? Yes. Moroccan? Khalid? Palestinian? Why'd you just shout out Palestinian? That's okay, very good. What else?
Egyptian?
Come on, do I hear Yemen?
Turkish?
So, Yemen.
Pakistan?
Kashmir.
Somalia? Aromo. What are Aromo tea? Ethiopia.
Okay, so guess what? Yes. Tanzania, Kenya, that whole region. Zanzibar. So next week, inshallah ta'ala, after our session, after Isha, we're going to settle it once and for all. We're doing an event called Chai versus Shai. Chai versus Shai. Everybody is going to be welcome to register. Call up your grandma, call up your mom, your wife, whoever, yourself, whoever you need to call. Bring your tea, your culture's tea, bring Texan tea. As long as it's homemade, don't go in any store and bring tea.
No British tea, please.
No British tea.
You will lose.
And we're going to settle this, inshallah ta'ala. So after Isha, make sure you bring your stuff with you, inshallah ta'ala.
So we will do a competition about which culture have the best tea ever.
Everybody's going to judge.
Everybody is going to be have a plan for it, for voting. Everybody will try. Everybody, make sure you bring, we'll send information about how you participate. But I think we can come up with maybe 10 different type of tea. And we'll see how it's going to go.
I'm pretty confident my tea is going to win, but it'll be a conflict of interest. So we'll see.